Behind the Beans. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I am Rob Hall, along with Beth Buchenberger.
Yes, happy Saturday Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend, the official end of summer. And, you know, it's not really the official end. That comes sometime later, you know, the calendar end. But this is really the official end of
summer. I think you can still put your bathing suit on and your sparklers.
Ken, the producer, just whispered to me, you got to put all your white pants away. It's the end of summer.
I mean, who really follows those rules anymore? I'm going to wear a tank top next week just for the heck of it.
Nobody. We don't want to get into fashion, but there are plenty of people I see in the winter who are wearing white jeans. So, you know, nobody follows those fashion rules anymore. Civilization's falling apart. You can't even follow the rules. Yes.
Jeez. Yeah, there is definitely no fashion rules anymore.
Hey, you know, I don't know what part of the world our listeners are in right now where they're listening, but Labor Day in Cincinnati is humongous. We have the
We
have the fireworks down on the Ohio River, which generates about, well, I don't know, about 600,000, I'm not exaggerating, people down at the riverfront, and so we celebrate the end of summer that way. So hopefully in your neck of the woods, you're having at least a little picnic.
Enjoying your family. Yes. Maybe right this minute you're cutting up watermelon.
Could be.
You're firing up the grill for all the shish kebabs you're going to do
Although
later.
On the West Coast at 7, it might be a bit early for
They're
that.
Marinating.
Maybe they're marinating or they're having some
They're
kind
putting
of
the apple in the pig mouth and it's on the spit right now, right? You just never know.
Something, so.
Today we got some great guests on.
We got some interesting stories today. Dan Stadler is going to join us. He's written a book, Angels in the Fire. It is really his personal story, he and his wife. Kind of a miraculous intervention. They were in a car wreck. I'll let him unpack the story, but just a really amazing story. And we love stories.
We love stories.
So that's going to be on. And then A Woman's Guide to Hearing God's Voice. I don't know if I'll be part of this discussion or what will happen, but an interesting book. Leanne McCoy has written A Woman's Guide to Hearing God's Voice, and she'll be in the segment right after the bottom of the hour. Some good practical stuff. We like to be practical. We like stories.
We want to give you things, conversations to inspire your day. We want you to have things to talk about this afternoon in your barbecue.
That's right. While you're sitting around the table, around the grills, like, hey, I heard this story today.
Your last time.
About this guy and his wife.
They were in a wreck.
And
I'm not telling you anymore.
There was a miraculous
spoiler alert. Don't tell him.
I won't tell him.
Don't spoil. Okay, speaking of accidents.
Yes.
What's your
worst?
Speaking
of accidents.
He was in an accident.
I know, but that's, you know.
Okay, this is sad. But what, like, tell me, like, your first. I have two children who are about to get their driver's license, and we've been practicing driving around.
This will be an encouraging conversation, I can tell already.
So, I mean, it's terrifying. My son is a much better driver than my daughter, and it's just terrifying. But anyway, what was your first teenage accident?
You'll be surprised to know I've never had an accident. Not one.
Not one time?
Not one time.
Not a fender bender?
Nothing. That's me knocking on wood, whatever.
Okay.
Knock there.
Okay,
Never had an accident.
Although I could fill the rest of the hour.
Although my son, Charlie, in the first 6 months, he had an accident. He ran in the back of somebody on a wet street. That was not good. But he handled it well, and luckily the people...
Teachable moment.
The people that he got in the accident with were so kind.
Aww.
So kind to him and all that kind of stuff. But it was, you know, it was a lesson learned. You know, he'd been driving 3 or 4 months, and he totally... The funny thing is he ran in the back of a Prius. He was driving our minivan.
Mm-hmm.
Minivan. What's wrong with my life? My son's driving my minivan. Anyway, runs into a Prius, and it was like the Prius was a stone gigantic wall. Nothing, just a teeny little scratch on the back bumper. The front end of we totaled the van. We had to get a new one.
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't know what they put in a Prius. Maybe there's like some giant.
We should all wrap ourselves in whatever they put in the Prius. It's like we should make the plane out of the black box material. That conversation. Well, if that thing survives, we should do the whole plane in that.
It might not fly, but that's a very good idea. Yeah. That could be. So anyway, I don't know what they have in a Prius. Nobody was hurt. Except our car.
Oh, I'm sad.
So I've never had an accident, but it seems like maybe you have.
I've driven in a foreign country for 15 years, so if we just count all those. But my first accident, I was driving my dad's Mustang convertible on a snowy night. And
your dad had a Mustang convertible?
He did, and he lent to his 16-year-old daughter.
Well, he was a gracious guy.
And I said, I'm going to take my friend home, and she lives kind of far away from us. And he said, if it starts snowing, I think you should just come straight home. And I'm outside, I'm like, this isn't snow. This is just really heavy, cold rain. And I got in the car.
Did you hit something or did you slide off the road? Or what did you do?
I I flipped that whole thing on its head. So then I was upside down in that little soft top, you know, in a ditch. Uh-huh. And I was with a boy. And I said to him, do you think you could push it over?
Shut up.
And he was like,
really?
I think physics would... No, I don't think I could push it over.
So you rolled the car.
I rolled the car, so we got out.
And there was somebody else in it. And you just got out.
We got out. Yeah, because I wasn't driving very fast. I was really terrified at that point. You know, and it was like really hilly. And this was, I hate this, but this was before cell phones. So when you get out of the car, it's like dark and snowing and cold. And I didn't probably dress appropriately. And I was like, gotta take off and look for somebody that'll help us.
Can you turn the car over?
There's perhaps an
indication of where your mind was.
Please fix this right now before my dad finds out.
Teenage boy, could you just flip the car over?
He's like, yeah, that would take more muscles than I currently have. So yeah, it was awful. But then what I remember is that some car drove by us and they had these brand new car phones that were like in big bags, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen one before. I'd never used one before. So they let me call my family in it. And it gave me all of a sudden the giggles that my dad said, where are you? And I'm like, we're rapidly leaving the scene. I mean, I don't even know where I am. I'm driving on this road. And I had the giggles. And he was not totally amused at that point. And, I mean, I have 100 stories like that. But
again, it just lets me into the psyche. Your psyche, that you are the weirdest person that I've ever known. You have an accident. The car turns over. You ask some boy whether he can push it back over on its wheels. Then when you have to tell your dad, it's not that you're afraid or crying or whatever, you get the giggles. Who does that? Hey, Dad, I wrecked the car. No one does that.
I mean, I'm sure there was some pent-up nerves in there, but Then he drives another car out, and the tow truck flips us back over, and then I have to drive it home. And I'm like, I'm not driving ever again. I'm definitely not driving in the winter. And he was like, you have a license. Get behind the wheel. We are driving back to home. And I was, So my story is not nearly worthy of an entire book, Angels in the Fire, but if you have a new teenage driver, you'd be very careful with them.
Yes.
Because that one winter I went off the road 9 times in the snow.
What?
I know. Oh,
gosh.
I'm terrified this winter.
Unbelievable. I cannot wait until you drive. You're back in the States. The snow in Cincinnati and you're going to have to drive around and all that kind of, that'll be hilarious.
I'm going to ride my bike.
So another great conversation. If you're sitting around this afternoon, your favorite beverage, a little barbecue, like that. It's like, hey. Let me know. I need to know when everybody's first accident. Tell me your accident story.
You're going
to
learn a lot about each other.
That's right, because maybe some funny things, maybe some serious things,
I'm going to realize that you are very cautious.
I'm guessing there might not be very many people who, after their first accident, ask their passenger to flip the car back over. But maybe that's part of your story. I don't have any idea. Maybe it is.
I was desperate for him to fix it, yes.
Yes, it sounds like you were. Well, hey, we're going to have two great guests. The first, as we've been talking about, is Dan Stadler, who actually has a very compelling, interesting story about an accident that he was in. Angels in the Fire is the book that he has written to sort of capture that. And then after the bottom of the hour break, Leanne McCoy is going to join us. She has written a book called A Woman's Guide to Hearing God's Voice. So a very practical book as well. So you're not going to want to miss those things. Why would you want to miss those things? Saturday morning like this? Yeah, last Saturday of the summer?
It is the last Saturday of the summer. You got to hear God's voice so you know what to do this fall. Because there are fall adventures ahead of you.
You personally have to hear God's voice so you know how to drive when the snowflakes start flying.
Let's just all say that I'm a fan of NASCAR now and that all my driving woes have, cleared up. I've now been driving for decades.
I'm sure that they have. And by the way, the NFLs are getting ready to kick off, so that's pretty exciting. Maybe we'll carve out some time to talk about that. I love fall.
I know you do.
Probably just because of football more than anything.
Hot cider?
No, not hot cider. None of those things.
Smelly candles.
No, smelly candles. What are you? The break cannot come soon enough. Hey, this is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall. That's Beth Guggenberger. And we are going to be back right after this break with our first guest, Dan Stadler. Join us then.
This past summer, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to India, where I met a little girl named Shailaja from an orphanage with back-to-back. She was a new child at the home and was having a hard time adjusting. As I began playing with her and painting her nails, I was reminded that this little girl was just like my sisters back at home in the United States. Instead of a face on a photo, she became a part of my family when I realized that I could continue to help her through Back2Back's child sponsorship program. Even though she lives over 8,000 miles away, through the Back2Back sponsorship program, I can ensure that her spiritual, physical, educational, emotional, and social needs are met. The best part about the program is when I come home from school and find a letter from Shilajah. I am so thankful for God working within both of our hearts in order to lead us closer to each other and closer to Him. Visit www.backtoback.org for more information.
Beth and Rob, Beth Kuchenberger, along with Rob Hall. We hope you're having a fabulous Saturday morning, wherever you happen to be on this Saturday. The end of August, the beginning of Labor Day weekend, all those cool things. We hope you're having a great time. Beth, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, and I'm excited about this segment because I like to tell good stories, and this is an incredible story.
It is. Dan Stadler is going to join us here, and he has written a book called Angels in the Fire. It's not a book about some other thing. It's about a story that he lived through. An accident that involved he and his wife Tracy, and just really some miraculous intervention. And so, Dan, welcome to the show. We are so glad you're with us.
Well, hi, Beth. Hi, Rob. It's good to be here.
Hey, thank you so much.
Dan, tell us a little bit about the night of this accident. And for those of us who aren't familiar with your story, tell the listening audience a little bit about just that, the drunk driver, the accident, four-year anniversary, the whole thing. Start from the beginning.
Sure. The entire book, Angels in the Fire, is just kind of recounts the hope that we've had in the Lord. And it really begins on that night where Tracy and I were out for our fourth wedding anniversary. And we had been out with her brother and his girlfriend for a dinner. And as we returned that night, it was just after midnight, we were on a six-lane divided freeway. And unfortunately, that night, a drunk driver decided that that was his way home, too, that night. And he was going the wrong way. And we collided head-on at about 70 miles an hour. And as you can imagine, especially in the days before airbags, crashes like that just are typically not survivable. And there were rescuers that happened to be on the road that saw the crash. And our car immediately burst into flames. The drunk driver was killed immediately, and he, too, had his seatbelt on. And as we were trapped inside and the rescuers came upon the vehicle, they were shocked to see that anybody was even moving inside. They just expected to see nothing but carnage. And although it was carnage, we still were moving inside. And the car was pushed in 50-some inches on my wife's side, about half of that on my side. And really, almost the entire engine compartment was resting on Tracy. And I know. And as we kind of struggled inside to get free, Tracy realized we were trapped. I really do not remember. I don't have much recall of that night other than through her. As the rescuers began to try to free us, they couldn't get inside into the interior of the compartment. They were swinging at it with their fists, with rocks. They had used fire extinguishers to try to break the windows. Nothing would work. Eventually, somebody did climb up on my side of the car, on the driver's side, and somehow, through incredible strength, was able to peel the window back until it broke. And they pulled me out of the car. And what Tracy saw essentially was that I was on fire. The rescuers pulled me out, and that's the last she saw of me. And she was still trapped inside the car on her side. And the rescuers began frantically, for lack of a better word, clawing at her to try to get her out. There was a small hole by the sunroof that they were trying to reach through. They had tried several times to pull on her and get her out, but she just wouldn't budge. And much to her horror, as she's sitting in the car, the flames are now getting closer and closer to her with such heat that she can actually begin to feel her own lungs burning and her face beginning to blister and burn as well. She's sitting in the car. She realizes that some of the people on the outside are now saying, they're screaming, they're saying it's going to blow up, get away from the car. They begin actually backing away, some of them. And at that point, she just began to pray to God, please forgive me for my sins, and you said that you have many mansions. I just pray that you have one for me in heaven. Just don't let me burn to death in this car. And as she basically uttered those final words in that prayer, in the next instant, she looked up and she saw just a beautiful sight. She saw an angelic figure, which was Jesus, reaching out to her. And she suddenly realized that she was leaving the car, but not physically. And she said the peace and love and warmth was just beyond human description. And she was just in awe of what was happening. And she looked at him, at Jesus, and said, "I'm dying, aren't I?" And he just kind of looked at her with this affirmation. You know, they were just speaking through their minds, more or less. And she said to him, this is amazing. Death is nothing to fear. You need to tell more people about this." She was just that enthralled with everything that was happening. And again, he just acknowledged her. And she said that the further she got away from the crash, the better she felt. I mean, all the physical pain and everything else had left her, the horror, the fear, and she was just enveloped by this peace and love. And she said she knew at that point she was going to heaven, and there was one reason that she was going to heaven. She said because of her relationship with Christ on earth, that she had accepted him, and that was the reason she was now being ushered into heaven with Jesus. And in the next moment, she saw her grandmother, who was, Tracy was maybe, I don't know, just several months old when her nanny died. And she looked at her, and her nanny just welcomed her with open arms, and she just kind of ran up to her and said, "Nanny." And she said that her next step was to go see the face of God. She knew that she was at that point, her nanny was welcoming her, she was with Jesus, she was going to see the face of the Lord. And, I mean, she was just overwhelmed with this thought. But then one more thought kind of creeped in on her, and that was of our daughter Megan. She was not in the car. She was only 9 months old at the time. She was home with my in-laws. And she just more or less shouted out, "Megan, I have to go back for Megan." She had thought at that point that I was dead. She was worried that she would leave Megan as an orphan. And she said, "I have to go back for Megan." And she said her nanny and Jesus both got very serious at that point and gave her a choice. And she said, "I have to go back." And then she was ushered back down to the scene of the crash. Now, at the same time that she was having this experience, there were some rescuers that were still attempting to pull her out, what was now her body. And they had tried two or three more times. She was still basically trapped. They tried heaving her out and pulling on her. She just would not budge. And at the same time this was going on, other rescuers that had kind of gathered around the car as it was burning, they saw somebody get out of the woods. And this is on I-95 in Florida, in Stuart, Florida. If anybody knows that area, it is essentially, or it was at the time, is essentially swampland. And there's really no good reason anybody would be there. Anyway, they saw this man come out of the woods and walk upon the scene, and he had this glow about him. And there were two individuals in particular that were just more or less stunned by what they were seeing, because they knew he was an angel. And he walked up to the car, and just as he got to the side of the car, the man that was on top of the car that had been more or less wrestling with Tracy's body said he suddenly felt a power come down on him. And he pulled one more time on Tracy, and he said she just basically popped out of the car with, in his words, with barely an effort. I mean, she just came out. She was as light as a feather at that point. And he picked her up, laid her down at the side of the road with the help of some of the other rescuers. And as she laid down on the side of the road, she then came to or woke up in her earthly body. And she said as she looked up, she was looking into the eyes of the angel. At that point, he had bent down over her. He put his hands over her face. And Tracy had said previously she knew in her mind that the one thing she could not take was having her face burned. And she said that he put his hand over her face. She felt the healing power of Jesus through the angel. And he said, "Tracy, everything's going to be all right." And other people heard this too. They heard him call her by name. And I was laying on the side of the road. My wallet wasn't on me. My clothes were stripped off or burned. Her purse was burning in the car. I had not uttered her name. I was unconscious. Tracy herself, I don't know if she even knew her name at that point. She had not said her name to anybody. So for him to call her by name was a miracle in and of itself. And then he looked up at the crowd, and he locked eyes with one rescuer in particular, and he just said, "Take care of Tracy." And then they basically grabbed her up because the fire was getting even larger at this point. She was laid right next to the car, and they moved her to the other side of the road. And then one of the rescuers she looked at, and she looked at him, and just her first words were, "I just saw Jesus."
Hmm. Just an amazing story. And I know that it had to have been difficult but somehow great to write this story out. But I'm interested in there's obviously a compelling reason to write it just beyond getting it on paper. What do you hope to accomplish by getting readers to hear your story and then incorporate it in their own life? What are you hoping to accomplish by writing the book?
Well, I don't know if it's so much an accomplishment. I just want people to read it and realize that there is hope with the Lord. That, you know, we all go through very trying experiences and circumstances. Some are worse than others, but everybody has trials in this life. And if you can just take a kingdom view and realize that the Lord is always there with you through good and bad, and he'll always give you something to hang on to. And it may not always be, you know, the perfect answer in our minds, what we would want or according to our wishes. But he'll always give you something according to his plan. And if you can just accept that and realize what it is and participate in it, it's an experience beyond words. It's a glory and a joy that to know that you're on this walk with the Lord in spite of whatever trials we have.
Mm-hmm. I know that you and Tracy have forgiven the drunk driver who caused this crash. What was that like? How was your first interaction with him?
Well, he died in the accident. So our forgiveness, you know, for him had to be without him asking for forgiveness or apologizing or anything like that. And it wasn't easy. It's a battle. Especially I forgave him early on after I more or less came to after my first few weeks in the hospital, because I could forgive him what he did to me. I think I struggled with it more after I first saw Tracy in rehab when we were together again. I know Tracy struggled with it initially as well. But, you know, in those times, I think it's just something we have to realize that, one, I hoped in my heart that if he had known what he had done, he would have apologized and felt sorry for it. So I kind of held on to that. And two, you just have to let things go and understand that at some point it's the Lord's work. His justice is perfect justice, whatever that is. I didn't want him punished. I know Tracy never wanted him punished. I'm sure he realized what the damage he had done and what he had caused, and maybe that was enough.
Yeah. We're talking with Dan Stadler about his book, Angels in the Fire, an incredibly compelling story. It's not just about the accident. It's about the recovery, marriage, forgiveness, an incredibly personal book. And Dan, just tell our listeners real quick in the 30 seconds we have left, where can they find the book?
They can find it at BethanyHouse.com, at ChristianBooks.com. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, local Walmarts, Christian bookstores. It is almost everywhere right now.
Yeah. Well, Dan, thanks so much for sharing such a personal story and an inspirational story. I know that our listeners will love it. And nothing but the best to you and to the sale of the book.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Dan Stadler, his book, Angels in the Fire. You hear those stories and you're like, I don't know whether to, how do you not believe it? I mean, they're just these stories of intervention and you're like,
Yep, absolutely. We just have to trust that God put that story on his heart so that it would bless those of us in the body.
Absolutely. Well, a compelling story. We hope you'll go out and grab that book. When we get back, we're going to be talking to Leanne McCoy, a little on the practical side, a woman's guide to hearing God's voice. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care at 877-374-LIVE.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Abram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
If becoming or staying debt-free is important to you, you're not alone. 10 years ago, I was worried sick, overwhelmed with debt, and so tired of not having enough at the end of the month to make ends meet. I was working a full-time job, but getting deeper in debt every month, and I hated being away from my children. I finally said, that's enough, and I made a decision to do whatever it took to get free from the terrible debt that was causing me so much stress. I'm Gina Neef, and I want to invite you to find the same financial freedom that I found. Not only did I pay my way out of debt, I was also able to leave my corporate job and work from home and be completely available to my family. For years now, I've worked part-time hours, making more than a full-time job would ever pay. I remember the pain of being in over my head, and I'll never forget the joy of becoming debt-free. That's why I show others how to do the same. If you're ready to work from home and find financial freedom, then I'm eager to show you how. Go to findingfreedomnow.com. Discover how you can get free from debt. Go to findingfreedomnow.com.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach, but more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
We hope you're having an unbelievably great Saturday morning, wherever you are, Labor Day weekend. Hope you're doing great.
I mean, really, the take-home from the last segment is Jesus sees you wherever you are, no matter what.
Do you have to, give us a take-home?
I'm just telling you.
I wanted to figure out my own take-home.
Conversations to inspire your day. I'm telling you, Real Life with Beth and Rob listeners, wherever you are, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, burning car or otherwise, Jesus sees you.
Thank you for that synopsis.
And he also hears you.
Yes, he does.
And?
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to shift gears after that last segment. We're going to talk to Leanne McCoy, who has written a book called A Woman's Guide to hearing God's voice, finding direction and peace through the struggle of life. So we love sort of practical segments, and this is going to be another one of those, and I'm really looking forward to talking to Leanne. So, Leanne, thanks for joining us. Leanne.
Yes.
Yeah. Leanne, there you are. Thanks for joining
us.
There
I am.
I appreciate it.
Well, thank you all for having me.
Absolutely.
Leanne, although you and I both know that all kinds of people hear God's voice, not just the woman, because of the fact that I am the female co-host on this radio show, I'm going to be doing the bulk of this question asking. And
okay.
I just wanted to start a little bit by you telling me just what made you, when did you start hearing God, and what made you decide to chronicle some of that for other listeners, other readers?
Well, goodness, I probably started hearing God's voice as a young girl growing up, as I began to practice the discipline of a quiet time, of sitting down on a daily basis and reading the Bible and learning how to pray. Now, at that time, I chronicled some of what I heard just because that's the way I did my quiet time. But I began to want to write this particular book in talking to women about hearing God's voice, actually out of a crisis time in my life that came about 3 years ago. It came as I was writing a different book called Spiritual Warfare for Women. And as I look back on it, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. I think, well, of course, Leanne, you were going to have crisis if you're going to pick up and take on the task of writing Spiritual Warfare for Women. What was I thinking? But when I began to write that book, what I thought I had already experienced in spiritual warfare was nothing compared to the warfare that sort of broke out around me. And during that time, everything in my life that I had ever experienced with God was challenged. And it was through that, really, this book, A Woman's Guide to Hearing God's Voice, comes out of my quiet times and my struggles during those crisis days of learning what it meant to really be in intimate relationship with God and to hear his voice, even during the difficult times. And so it's not, I do have a chapter in my book, the very first chapter, that talks sort of in generalities about hearing God's voice. But then I move very quickly from that to talking about how to hear God's voice when you're walking in the darkness. In fact, I use the verse out of Exodus that said, Moses approached God in the thick darkness. And so he went to where it was dark because he knew God was there. And most often we don't choose to go where it's dark, but when we find ourselves going there, it's a great comfort in knowing that God is there, and that if we look for him and listen for him in that place, he will tell us things that we would have never known otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know in the book, Leanne, that you choose several biblical characters to sort of illuminate the stories. How did you land on those? I mean, there's plenty to choose from. How did you land on the particular characters that you used in the book?
Well, these were, and the funny thing is, most of those characters, I think all of them, are men. And but they're the ones that I can relate to most in their walk with the Lord. In fact, Jacob, he's the first one I talk about, and I have always said I'm much more a Jacob than I am an Abraham, and I actually talk about Abraham too. But Jacob was the kind of guy that, man, he went after what he wanted, and he was going to do what he could do to get it. And it really wasn't until he found himself at a place where he had done everything he could do, and he just wasn't really sure that he was going to get what he really thought God had promised to give him. And that was when he entered into that wrestling match with God. So I guess I picked these guys because they're the ones that as I've walked my journey with the Lord, they're the ones that have spoken the most into my life. I can really, really relate to what they might have been thinking and what they might be feeling. And I take a lot of liberties like that in the book. I take a lot of liberties with, this is what I would think if I were him. And I encourage the reader, you go read it for yourself and you figure out, you know, that out, because I do sort of embellish the story a little bit at times.
You know, my favorite part is the part two where you talk about where was God when. And, you know, we all want to hear God's voice all the time, but I'm not always listening so much on the sunshine days, because on the sunshine days, I like what it is I think I hear, and I don't want to hear anything different. I don't want to hear any, you know, turn left if I'm planning on going straight. But yeah. I'm straining to hear his voice when I'm in the pit, or I'm straining to hear his voice. How is it that we hear God's voice in the midst of of both the good and the hard times?
Well, I think, you know, C.S. Lewis is the one who said that God whispers in pleasure and he shouts in pain. And I chose those, especially like Joseph, who heard God's voice in the pit. I love Joseph because he heard God's voice when things were going well. He heard God's voice in the medium of dreams. And these were great dreams that Joseph had. I mean, he was so excited about it, he had no sense, and he told his brothers and his family, not thinking about the impact it would have on them. But then when the brothers sort of interrupted, or it would have seemed like they interrupted what God's plan was in Joseph's life, he ends up in this pit, and totally everything that he had dreamt had to be just falling shattered around him. And but what I love about Joseph is, even though it was all very crazy, the circumstances, and seemingly going in the opposite direction of what God had assured him of and what he had already hung his hat on, you know, with the assurance of being able to trust God, he just continued, apparently, to press in to God. And how do I know that? Because everywhere he went, from the place that things came unraveled, he excelled and did his very best and rose to the top. And that tells me that, I mean, he gave us a great example of how to do. You just keep on trusting God, and we know the rest of the story. And, of course, God certainly came through and fulfilled every one of those dreams that God ever gave Joseph. But he certainly didn't do it in the way that I would have anticipated if I had been Joseph, you know. And so God, he speaks to us if we're listening for him. Because when we get into those difficult times, if we choose to sit there and look around at our circumstances and begin to listen to the voice of defeat, which comes from the enemy, from Satan, and that would be saying, well, God can't be trusted, because if he could be, this would not be happening. But what Joseph gives us a great example of is just go ahead and trust God, because somehow I'm not understanding what this is, but somehow this will be worked into what God has promised me.
We're talking with Leanne McCoy about her book, A Woman's Guide to Hearing God's Voice. And Leanne, there are plenty of times in my own life, I'm sure, in the characters that you've studied, and even in your own life, that you've had trouble or haven't heard God's voice. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and maybe some encouragement to some of our listeners who are like, you know, I just don't really hear God's voice like that, or I haven't heard God's voice in a while. Can you recount some stories of your own and some encouragement for our listeners?
Okay. Well, when I first started learning kind of how to hear God's voice, I was really plagued with the doubt that maybe it's just my voice I'm hearing, you know, because I don't know how guys are, but girls, we hear voices all the time. I mean, my husband laughs. He's like, I don't hear anything. I can be really quiet. I don't hear anything in my head. And I'm like, yeah, that's obvious. I'm just kidding. But we hear, like, I hear voices. So when I first started, I was like, is that God's voice or is that just me, you know, thinking? And I began in my quiet time, this is just simple and basic, and this isn't even in the book. I'm just thinking this out loud.
Sure.
I began to.
We got about a minute left, Leanne.
Okay. When I was journaling, I would write that thought that was coming into my mind as if, and I would do it in the person of God speaking to me, you know, and I would write it like that and begin to free myself up just to talk conversationally with God. That's how I began to hear his voice.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, can you join us after the break?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, that would be great. I would love to hear a little bit about how do you encourage a listener who's stuck in a pit, has trouble hearing God's voice, trusting his promises? I know that at the heart of your book is not just about those who hear God's voice easily, but also encouragement for those who are struggling or learning how to hear God's voice as well. So we'll talk about that after the break. Hey, just some great stuff, Beth. I mean,
I'm thinking to myself, we have a communicative God, whether he finds us in a burning fire in the middle of our car, like we talked about in the second statement, or whether we talk about someone who whispers to us in our pain and in our pleasure, we have a God that wants to interact and intersect in our story.
Yeah, absolutely. So right after the break, we're going to talk some more about that. Leanne's going to give us some encouragement. If you're having trouble hearing that voice, or perhaps just learning how, you know, I don't really know if it's my voice or the Lord's, Leanne will be back to talk about that. So, hey, this is Real Life with Beth and Rom. I'm Rom Hall. That's Beth Guckenberger. In just 60 seconds, we'll be right back. So join us then.
Who's Weaving Your Story? The Story Weaver series by Beth Guckenberger highlights the plight of orphans throughout the world in personal, heart-grabbing stories of loss, struggle, and redemption, the kind of redemption only God, the great story weaver, can accomplish. Written for ages 8 and up, Tales of the Not Forgotten and Tales of the Defended Ones reveal God's ability to create a story far greater than we can imagine. And the corresponding 6-part Leader's Guides on CD help turn each book's content into a simple yet powerful 6-week curriculum for any church or small group. Use both together and you have a 12-week curriculum full of fun activities, compelling stories, biblical teaching, and practical applications. Let God weave your story and see what He can accomplish for orphans worldwide. The Story Weaver series is published by Standard Publishing and is available at www.standardpub.com or your favorite Christian bookstore.
Welcome back. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger.
Yes.
It's a fabulous Saturday morning here in Cincinnati. I hope it's a fabulous Saturday morning wherever you are around the country here on XM.
Happy Labor Day.
We're having a great conversation with Leanne McCoy. Kind of the conversation is about her book,
mm-hmm.
A Woman's Guide to Hearing God's Voice. Leanne, welcome back. We're so glad you're on the show with us. Absolutely. Hey, and before the break, we talked just a little bit. We started to get in about how you would encourage a listener who's kind of stuck or has had trouble hearing God's voice, maybe trying for the very first time, trusting in God and His promises. What kind of encouragement would you give to somebody who finds themselves in that circumstance?
Well, if you're in circumstances that seem to contradict what you think is good, what you think is evidence of God in your life, then you've got to separate yourself, if you can, from the circumstances and somehow cling to God, the person of God, not just what He's doing, but who He is. And I address this in my book in some of the chapters talking about let God define good and understand that God is bigger than even this. Because oftentimes what makes it hard for us to hear is we think, well, what is going on now is totally outside of anything that could have possibly been in the heart or the head of God for me. And I use the personal example of my cancer. I was diagnosed with cancer when I began writing Spiritual Warfare for Women 3 years ago. And in that journey, it was, for anyone who's dealt with cancer, it was a stage one situation. I had a surgery, and it was over. And as many cancer patients know, you continue going to your oncologist. 2 years later, right as I was beginning to write this book, my cancer had returned. And so this time it was much more serious than it was the first time. And actually, while I was writing Woman's Guide to Hearing God's Voice, I was going through chemotherapy. And as I wrote the book, I said, you know, cancer not in any way seems to be good to me. I don't call it good. That is not, and it doesn't in any way seem to be God's plan for me, and it makes it very difficult to watch. But I heard God's voice clearly at the outset of my second diagnosis with cancer, and this is what His voice I heard, and the way you say I heard, I didn't hear it audibly. God speaks to us different than that. He speaks to us in our heart. When we invite Jesus in, He lives on the inside of us. So His voice comes from the inside, oftentimes not from the outside, and from the very inside. And it was during a time when I was praying and really wrestling with having to fight cancer while I was engaged in writing this book. He said, Leanne, this cancer is purposeful. And I didn't know for what purpose, and to tell you the truth, I'm still not sure I know exactly what the purpose was for that cancer, but I chose to trust God's word on the situation, and that was that somehow, for some reason, God knew that good was coming from this, and He was going to trust me with it. And so it's a lot about hearing God's voice is a lot about knowing who God is and trusting His person, having a relationship with Him that is intimate, that is real, that is dynamic, and just like a relationship with any person who is that kind of a friend to you, it takes you to giving the time to get to know him and to spend the time with him and to learn to watch his activity in your life, his presence in your life. Mm-hmm. And as you grow to see that and to know what he's up to by watching and observing, then you begin to hear his voice even when it's hard to hear. And you trust him no matter what you're going through.
Yeah. Well, I know the book is published by Bethany House, which is part of Baker Publishing Group. Tell our listeners where they can find the book, get their hands on it.
They can go straight to the Bethany House website at bethanyhouse.com. They can get books from my website, leannemccoy.org, or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, really anywhere books are sold. They can get their own copy of A Woman's Guide to Hearing God's Voice.
Well, Leanne, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Great stuff and just some great conversation. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much, Beth and Rob.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Right.
Thank you.
Blessings
to you.
It's one of those topics, Beth, you know, that I've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, you know, 20, 25 years, something like that. It's that conversation comes up time and time again. People just saying, how do I know? Am I hearing God? How do I hear his voice? It's just one of those things that just people never stop asking.
And I think not only do we hear God for ourselves, but we can also ask God to speak to us for other people. You know, a couple weeks ago at church, I went forward and asked for some prayer. And the person that was praying for me knows very little about my life. I have no social contact with them at all. Just what they know about me, not necessarily know me. And they prayed silently for a few minutes and then had this beautiful word picture of a moving sidewalk. And this person said, have you ever seen a moving sidewalk at the airport? And I said, yes. And they said, the Lord is showing me that you're on a moving sidewalk, so it might feel like you're not moving, but he's carrying you right now, and you're actually doing more than you think you are. And I really went forward because we had just moved here to the United States, and I was so used to being in 24-hour action, and I got here, and I was like, what in the world am I doing? And that person wasn't privy to those emotions, certainly didn't know what Jesus and I had been talking about. And the Lord used him to share something to me. And I think listening for God's voice is just it's a critical part of the exciting Christian life. Like, it's the interactive, the communicative, mm-hmm. He cares about more than me memorizing certain things or my behavior. Like, he literally wants to talk to me. And that, to me, is the excitement in understanding how to listen to
God. It sounds like that was an incredibly timely word to you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
So asking God to speak to me about me, but to speak to me for you, it's just a gift we can give each other in the body.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was interesting. A lot of times, again, I'll hear people struggle with, well, I just need to hear God in the Bible, or I don't need to read the Bible because I hear God in a particular way. We didn't really talk much about Leanne's guidance, but about staying in the Bible, but it is. That's how you get to know who God is.
That's how you recognize the voice.
That's right. And so you can then begin to say, well, God wouldn't necessarily speak to me in a condemning way because we know that there isn't any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you got to know the one before you can get to the other, and you got to be able to confirm the one by knowing the other. And so those are both very important in what is really a mature Christian life, hearing God's voice.
And I think also what happens is that, like, you... Like, we can live the Christian life, and that has nothing to do with being a Christian. You know, I mean, like, we can follow the right rules, go to the right places, listen to the right music, read the right books,
right. But
not necessarily have a relationship with Jesus. And if we look for him, we find him in the fiery car. We find him in our quiet time. We find him through the words of other people. I mean, today's show and the conversation that I hope has inspired in our listeners throughout the day is that if you look for Jesus, he's absolutely everywhere.
Absolutely. So, some great stuff again today. Two great guests, I mean. Leanne McCoy was with us talking about her book, A Woman's Guide to Hearing God's Voice, and Angels in the Fire, Dan Staller. Just this interesting, sort of compelling story. And so, you know, some good stuff for our listeners to learn more about, hear about. What are you going to do this weekend? Labor Day. What's going on?
Oh, Labor Day weekend. I mean, do have a little bit of football to go to.
Absolutely.
But, I'm finishing up a book I'm writing right now that'll be out in January. And so it's just finishing all the details for that so that that
work,
can get
work,
to press.
Work.
And then I'm sure I'll be barbecuing, and then I'll be floating on a pool raft,
very
and then
good.
I'll be
some play. That's good.
Working on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have a couple trips coming up. You know, with coming to the central office, we'll be doing lots of international travel. So I got a couple trips coming up, you know, at the places in the world. Just
that's right. Where in the world is Beth Guckenberg? Where are you going?
Well, I'm going to be headed off to Haiti this fall, and I'll be in Monterey in about 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
So all kinds of exciting things.
And I think you warned me that you may be going to Nigeria sometime next year, too.
I am, listening audience. If you have any desire to go to Africa, my family and I are inviting the first 30 people that say yes to come with us.
There you go.
So if that's you, you can get on our website, back2back.org, and say that you'd like to come to Africa with our family. We'll be going to Nigeria over spring break, so...
Man.
I mean, you just never know where what's going
to
happen.
That's right. I was planning to go to, like, I don't know,
Destin.
Florida or something, you know.
That's a lovely thing to do.
It is a lovely thing. I went there last year. It was awesome.
I'm sure it
but
was.
But, you know, it's not a trip to Nigeria. Maybe I'll have to get on the website and...
I would encourage you to do so.
And figure that out.
We have some recommended reading of which Michelle Perry's book might be on it.
Really?
I mean, I'm just thinking, the idea of saying yes whenever you need to say yes from last week, that stuck with me all week long as I've tried to think to myself, how is it that I could say yes to what God might have and not ask all the questions or say no first?
Absolutely. Well, our family will be doing the normal weekend stuff. You know, we got some family in town doing those things, so we hope...
Fire pit?
Absolutely. It doesn't even matter if it's 100 degrees out. We still love the fire. It's been so cool in Cincinnati as compared to, like, the sweltering humidity. We've had like 8 or 10 fire pits in July.
That's so fun.
That never happens.
That's good memories right there.
Absolutely.
Do you do s'mores on your fire pit?
Absolutely we do. How can you not?
Well, then you need to invite me to one. And
you're
listening audience,
to them all.
The first 30 of you that respond to the website, you too could come have s'mores with Rob in his fire pit.
No, but you could have s'mores in Nigeria.
Yeah, there's no need for the fire. Just stick that thing out in the sun.
Absolutely. Well, there's been just some great shows this month. We're looking forward to some guests here in September. If you enjoyed this show or are interested in any of our other shows, you can hit us up on our website, which is reallifewithbethandrob.com. You can hit us up on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
Real Life with Beth and Rob, or, ironically enough, on iTunes, Real Life with Beth and Rob there, too. So any of those places, you can listen to these shows, download them. You can pass them on to someone else. Whatever you want to do, we hope you'll do that. We've had some great guests this summer, and we're looking forward to a great fall as well.
I think the fall is like a good reading season because it's, you know, you like get it gets dark earlier, and you get those like really comfortable blankets around you, and just
here you go again.
We've given you some really lovely options for your suggested reading list.
Absolutely. So, Beth, good
Thank
weekend
you.
To you. Hopefully,
you too.
Our listeners will have some great conversation to have this weekend, long weekend. And as they go into the week as well. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on the web, wherever you happen to be. And
listen for God's voice in the meantime.
Absolutely.
Men or women.
Men or women. Thank you very much for that because, you know, we can do that.
Because she
well.
Cut you off in that.
She did, sort of, didn't she?
But that's okay.
All right. Well, anyway, we hope you have a great weekend. And come back and join us again next week. We'll be on at 10 o'clock, same time, at East Coast, 7 o'clock on the Pacific Coast. And we hope you have a fabulous weekend. So, for Beth... I'm Rob. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob, and we'll see you next week.